When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's get to the association that tips off tonight in this series between the New York Knicks welcoming the Indiana Pacers to the Garden for game one of the Eastern Conference semis. It's a rivalry renewed as these two franchises have a long history of playoff battles, having faced off seven times in the postseason, including six times in an eight-year span. Now, Jalen Brunson averaged over 35 points per game in the first round against Philly. That is the most in a playoff series in the modern draft era by a player that was not selected in the first round. We got Kendrick Perkins here joining us. Perk, good morning. Great to see you as always. Shannon, I'm going to start with you on this one. Who do you think wins this series, the Pacers or the Knicks?
Man, it's really hard to pick against Jalen Brunson because he's been sensational. But I think... I think the Pacers and their style of play of getting up and down, I'm going to take the Pacers in seven games. But like Christine was in the lead in the read was saying, I think it's going to be an epic series. I think we're going to see some of what we saw in this first round matchup between the Knicks, where somebody might have a lead with 5-6 point lead with 30 seconds to go and somehow end up losing the game. I think it's going to be that type of performance. But I think the minutes that their key guys play, the Knicks play, I think that pace the Knicks that the Pacers play at, I think it's going to be too much. I'm going to take the Pacers in seven games. I think Brunson is the best player on both teams, but I think the Pacers have a little bit too much depth. I like them in seven.
I don't know what else Jalen Brunson, big body Brunson, and the Knicks got to do to get people respect, especially Unk. But it's the Knicks in six, and I'm really torn on should I take them in five. And I get it, right? We keep talking about the Indiana Pacers, and we're talking about their pace and how fast they love to get up and down and the pace that the Knicks like to slow it down because Jalen Brunson, he knows how to manage the game. But when it comes to having the perimeter defenders, to be able to switch pick and rolls, the Knicks have that. When you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, the one thing that I kept harping on is that they didn't have those guys on the perimeter that could defend, that could cause problems, that could stop a T.J. McConnell from looking like a Steve Nash the way that he did in Game 6. And so when you think about Pascal Siakam, and I said this yesterday, Stephen A., when we were on Countdown, Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby is going to be the most important matchup in this series. Because one could argue that Pascal Siakam has been the best player for the Indiana Pacers. We know what OG Anunoby is going to bring to the table defensively. So I understand, right, everyone is looking at the depth and how Tom Thibodeau is going to play his guys a lot of minutes. But these guys are built for that. But I think Tom Thibodeau is going to give some playing time to Precious Achiuwa. I think Alex Burks need to stay ready on that Knicks bench. But the Knicks having home court advantage with that atmosphere and the way that big body Brunson been balling and the way that they were able to overcome Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid with that duo and those performances that they have, I have the Knicks winning this series in six.
So do I. I've got them in six, but I'm a bit more nervous about it and not as sure as Kendrick Perkins in terms of my level of confidence. And here's the reason why. I'm going to pick the Knicks in six. I believe they will win this series, but it doesn't mean that they don't make me nervous. I watched the New York Knicks go through spells of really, really struggling to score the ball. Indiana, although they had a couple of games where they struggled to score against Milwaukee, was the leading offense in the NBA with more than 123 points per game. They were the only team in the league to shoot 50% or better from the field this season. I think they're number two, if I remember correctly, in pace with 102.1 possessions per game. The New York Knicks are dead last at about 95.9. And that concerns me because it's one thing to sit up there and say, Perk, Big Perk, and Shay, that the New York Knicks will slow the ball. It's another thing to remind us all they absolutely must do so. You cannot run with the Pacers. You have to crash the boards. You have to dominate the boards. You have to limit them to one shot as often as you possibly can. And you have to control pace. I've got the Knicks winning in six because I believe in Jalen Brunson. I've got the Knicks winning in six because I believe in their toughness, their grit, along with their defensive prowess. But I do caution that Dante DiVincenzo going cold, as he did a couple of games, Tom Thibodeau running seven players into the ground, you got to be mindful of that. Precious Achiuwa does need time in this series, Big Perk. You're absolutely right. Those kind of things have to happen because we have seen, Perk, you have to acknowledge this for your former assistant coach who helped y'all win the title in 08. You have to acknowledge this about Tom Thibodeau as a head coach. We know how great he can be. We also know there are moments he's not, particularly on the offensive side of the floor. And you can't afford, in my opinion, to make those kind of mistakes against Indiana. Indiana is no joke. I'm not sleeping on them at all, but I believe in the Knicks' toughness. I think toughness and defense wins this time of year, and the New York Knicks have that.
I think.
Let me say this. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'll let you make your point. Go ahead.
So let me say this about the pace. I get it, right? When you look at the paces, they love to push the pace. But you know how you stop that? You stop that by not turning the ball over, okay? That's one thing. Another thing, as a guy that has been in the locker room with Tom Thibodeau, he's going to preach effort. You know what's part of effort? It's getting back in transition. Tom Thibodeau is also big on discipline. You know what the Knicks are going to have to do this series, and I get it, it's part of their identity of crashing the offensive glass, and Josh Hart is one of the best to do it, but he's going to have to limit and be disciplined in that area because when the shot goes up, you got to have two people getting back. As soon as the guy is getting into the rhythm of his shot, whoever those two guards are, they got to be on a high horse getting back in transition to be able to stop the pace of the Indiana Pacers. Those are the adjustments that I expect Tom Thibodeau to make. Those are the word that he's going to preach in that locker room is the word effort. Like, we take that word for granted, but it's so key when you talk about the great defensive teams in the league because now you got to make the second, the third, the fourth effort to make sure that you're closing out on shooters, to make sure that you're able to defend a guy like a Obi Toppin or Miles Turner who's able to stretch the floor. And the Knicks have that. Long as they take care of the ball, long as they get back in transition, long as they have discipline, they're going to win this series. And I believe they have all three of those things.
Well, I mean, you got a lot of as long as. But let me put it in the football term. When you play Patrick Mahomes, the opposing team says, you know what? We want to limit the amount of possessions that he has. We want to try to possess the football as much as we can. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you possess the ball if you don't score touchdowns. So it doesn't matter. You say that Jalen Brunson can control the tempo. Well, they better get quality shots, and they better make them. And it doesn't matter if they turn the basketball over. The Indiana Pacers are looking to push the tempo, make or miss. So they'll take it off the rim or they'll get it out the net. But they're pushing the ball up the court. Stephen A., you and I watched them in the in-season tournament. And I had seen anything like it. I've seen a lot of games, but I've never seen anybody push tempo. They're playing like 80s basketball when you routinely saw teams could get to the 170s. They could get to the 150s, the high 130s and 140s. That's what they remind me of, the old ABA Indiana Pacers and the 80s. The 80s teams that really pushed the style of play. But you mentioned Miles Turner. He's very athletic. He can stretch the floor. He can shoot the three. He can finish at the rim, and he's a very good defender. He's going to give you an element that Joel Embiid that couldn't because Joel Embiid was limited because of that knee. I think it's going to be an outstanding series. I think it's going to go deep.
In terms of his
but
movement.
I like the pace. Yes.
Shannon, this is what you have to realize. Again, okay. when I started off, when I first came, the number one thing that I highlighted was that the Knicks have the personnel to defend and get back in transition. When you talk about high motor guys that play with a lot of energy, that's what you need against the Indiana Pacers. When you look at Josh Hart, that's what he does best. He's a high motor type guy. When you look at OG Anunoby, he's a high motor, 6'9", athletic as hell, can move with the best of them. He can switch 1 through 5s. When you think about Jalen Brunson, he may not be the fastest guy on the floor defensively, but he's smart as hell when it comes down to taking charges. When you think about a team and you look at the New York Knicks that sacrificed themselves so much, that's not afraid of embarrassment. That's the key part, embarrassment. The way that they challenge shots at the rim, the way that they're not afraid to slide those puppies on the perimeter, is going to be hell and hot water when it comes down to the Pacers being able to attack them. The Milwaukee Bucks did not have that. They didn't have the personnel to stop them.
Steven,
right there.
I like Siakam. I want to see Siakam and OG because they're very familiar with each other. There was a lot of scrimmages. Perk. There was a lot of practices where I'm sure those two guys were matched up. And so now, because you know when you're on the same team, Perk, man, if I was on another team, I would cook you. Man, I'd lock you down. Well, we're about to find out.
We're about to find out
if that talking, because it's going to come to fruition.
All right, this is the first time these two teams are playing.
No question about it, it's going to come to fruition.
Go ahead.
One quick point, Christine. The last point is this. It's going to come down. We're going to learn a lot tonight because in the 7 previous playoff series between these two teams, whoever won game one won the series, 7-0.
Yeah. This
the
is the first
game
time.
One has won this series.
This is the first time these two teams have played each other in the playoffs since 2013, so it's been a minute. It's going to be a good one.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Electric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. The riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Electric are fast, up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight, foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range, so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com. Have a great day, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod.
Welcome back. After being swept by Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets, the Lakers fired coach Darvin Ham on Friday after two seasons. Ham had 2 years remaining on his contract, and he went 90-74 during the regular season and 9-12 in the postseason, plus 2 play-in tournament wins since being hired to replace Frank Vogel in 2022. Now, LeBron James has played for 3 different teams and had 9 different head coaches in his career, and now the Lakers will be looking for his 10th head coach. Michael Wilbon came in hot on PTI on the matter. Take a listen.
If you want to be the GOAT, you want to tell everybody you're the GOAT, you're the greatest player of all time, you want to have it on podcasts, you want to have it, then take accountability like one. Do that. You don't blame this cryptically or backhandedly on Darvin Ham. I don't want to hear from anybody in a Laker uniform that the primary problem was Darvin Ham. Yes, LeBron and Anthony Davis were great in that series, but they weren't good enough against Denver. So take that on. GOAT carries responsibility. I don't see it.
All right, Kendrick Perkins, you're on the hot seat here because we know that LeBron James is your guy. You've been saying for a million times that he's your GOAT. Does 10 head coaches hurt LeBron's GOAT case?
Yes, it do. And Stephen A., let me ask you this. Can you tell the public what I did? Who did I text a couple of days ago in a group message out of the blue. It was you and who?
Me and Michael Wilbon.
And I texted him and I said,
It was me and
go Michael. Ahead.
Yep. And you said, and you texted me and Michael Wilbon and you said, you done convinced me, you damn near convinced me to change my mind on this GOAT argument after watching my two big bros say what you guys have said. That is what you said.
And Shannon, you can fix your body language because I'm here for it right now. And here's the thing, right? When it comes down to LeBron, Michael Wilbon was 100% right. It has never been accountability when it comes down to Bron when he have losing seasons or get eliminated. We could go all the way back to the Miami days when he got eliminated. He came on the mic and he talked about how he's going to go off and go off, ride into his vacation and live his wonderful life, and everybody else got to go back to living a miserable life. When I think about LeBron James and I think about this situation in particular, it looks bad on him with Darvin Ham. Number one, think about last year where the Lakers were at the All-Star break. Rob Pelinka make a couple trades. He bring in Rui Hachimura. He bring in D'Lo. Okay, cool. LeBron James was out majority of that second part of that season. Darvin Ham coached his behind off with Anthony Davis leading the way to get them into the play-in, into the postseason, and into the Western Conference Finals. Okay, coming to this season, LeBron James at the trade deadline was sending so many subliminals for Rob Pelinka to make a move because he knew that the Lakers did not have enough. He knew that he wanted a DeJounte Murray to come over, but Rob Pelinka held on to Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell because you know he knew that in the Western Conference, he needed guys on the perimeter that was going to defend. So Darvin Ham did, he got the most out of what he had. And when you think about this roster, everybody kept saying, well, he's playing D'Lo and he's playing Austin Reeves so many minutes together. Why? Because they need spacing. And that was his only options. At the end of the day, man, I hate to say it, but I believe this in my soul right now. I wish LeBron James will retire. Not because I don't want to see more of LeBron James, not because I don't appreciate LeBron James, but I honestly believe deep down inside, the more LeBron James continue to play the game of basketball, the more it's going to hurt his legacy, and the more it's going to continue to hurt his GOAT argument. Because as long as he steps foot on that floor, every single season is going to be expectations of him of winning a championship. And when he don't do that, we're going to be looking at him and saying, well, what happened now? So now you're looking at the Lakers. They're most likely going to re-sign LeBron James back this upcoming season. The coach that you bring in, if they don't make it to the finals or the Western Conference Finals, who's going to be to blame then? I have a problem, man. And I'm LaToya Knuckle right now. I'm torn in between the two.
I think the thing is, when I look at it, it's just the level of expectations we have for a 39-year-old. We've never seen anybody in the history of the game have the level of expectations that LeBron James. Nobody expected this. Were you expecting Michael Jordan to get to the Eastern Conference Finals when he was in Washington, Perk? Yes, it's a simple yes or no.
No.
Let that sink in for just a second. LeBron James is the exact same age that Michael Jordan was when he was in Washington. And the level of expectations, we expect him to be an MVP. We expect him to get his team to the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals. Perk, a lot of what you said, yeah, the accountability. I can take it to mind when I played 14 years, Perk. Two of my worst moments, my most down moments, is when Dan Reeves rest his soul and Wade Phillips got fired on my watch. And there are a lot of times that I prayed to God, and I know this is an insignificant prayer. I said, God, why didn't you let me be better so I could have saved this man's job? It bothered me that Dan Reeves and Wade Phillips lost their job on my watch because I said if had I been better, had I been the player then, what I later became, maybe I could have saved him. I'm never, never going to say anything out of context that can be construed that Shannon is unhappy with his coach. Now, I understand. Ladies and gentlemen at home, I'm not trying to compare myself to LeBron James. I never would. I never had that level of ability playing the game of football like LeBron has in basketball. But I'm just trying to share you guys my mindset when I went to work every day. I gave you everything I possibly had, tried to lead the best way I could, play the way I did on the football field. But it bothered me. And I'm a big guy on accountability. Stephen A., if nothing else, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm never going to be too big. I'm never going to be too prideful. I'm never going to be too wealthy to say I'm sorry or I was wrong. Not enough athletes have that built like that. LeBron's problem is the accountability, because he's seeing cryptic and subliminal tweets. They're not even subliminal. You know exactly what he's saying because we've heard it for the better part of 20 years. So we know exactly what he means. We know exactly what he's saying. But the fact of the matter is that if he could have had Ty Lue, or he could have had an Eric Spoelstra, do I believe LeBron James would have had more MVP, had more titles? Yes. But he has what he has. It is what it is. I don't think all those coaches hurt this argument. The only thing that hurts LeBron James is that they don't think we know that he's a large part of the reason why these coaches are no longer coach him. That's the problem that I have most first and foremost.
Shannon, you said if he could have Eric Spoelstra, he would have more rings. Damn it, he had Eric Spoelstra. He chose to leave Miami.
And left.
He didn't want to play for Eric Spoelstra no more in that franchise because they wouldn't do it the LeBron James way, because Pat Riley stood behind Eric Spoelstra. Okay, so when I think about the comments when you said, you know, about Jordan and his expectations, you know why the expectations are different for LeBron James? Because LeBron James put these expectations. No, LeBron James put these expectations on himself. Because LeBron James is always calling himself on several occasions the GOAT. LeBron James is always speaking out about it. We don't hear Jordan calling himself the GOAT. Here's another thing. LeBron James, this is another thing, man, that I feel like is gonna hurt LeBron. We already know what type of basketball mind LeBron is. I think he's one of the most brilliant basketball minds that ever touched a damn basketball. But when you start making it a case where you're the smartest person in the room all the time, that's a problem. And that's hard for any coach to step into that seat and come in and try to hold you accountable. And I'm going to tell you one more other thing before I pass the mic to you, Stephen A. I'm watching this Nuggets and Timberwolves series. If Anthony Edwards lead the Minnesota Timberwolves past the Denver Nuggets, that's also going to look bad on LeBron James and Anthony Davis and the Los Angeles Lakers as far as the firing of Darvin Ham. You want to know why? Because for the simple fact is that what he's showing us with Anthony, listen, hear me out. What Anthony Edwards is showing us is it's a different type of killer mentality that he has. I got the killer mentality. What have been the question marks about the GOAT conversation when you think about LeBron James and right. MJ? The killer mindset.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Perk, I think you've gone too far. I don't disagree with what you're saying in terms of your overall point, because LeBron James is not my GOAT. That would be Michael Jordan. But even though I think that Anthony Edwards, winning the title would make him the new face of the NBA because of what we've seen him do in route to capturing that title, let us remember that LeBron does have four. He has been to 10 NBA finals. And you winning a championship, I'll let you speak, hear me out, Perk. I'm not saying that Anthony Edwards won't be the new face. I'm simply saying that is not a blemish on LeBron James' career, because whatever killer instinct you're saying LeBron lacked didn't stop him from getting the 10 NBA finals and winning 4 NBA championships and 4 league MVPs. That's all I'm saying. Now let me get to a bigger point. Here's what we're not, and the three of us are going to collaborate as men on this national television show, number one, okay. By the way, we're going to make sure that LeBron James' camp doesn't get to pull off what they will try to pull off. Because you see, the narrative is already, we're blaming LeBron James for the firing of coaches. That's not what this discussion is. What this discussion is us debating that another firing that has occurred under his watch, whether or not that compromises quote-unquote GOAT status in the eyes of a Shannon Sharpe or Kendrick Perkins or Stephen A. Smith and others. That is what the debate is. See, they'll leave. And what they'll say is, oh, LeBron James is getting blamed for the firing. We're not saying that. What we're saying is that you're not as innocent and you're not some just mere spectator in this whole scenario the way you try to pretend to be. That is what we're saying. We're not going to let LeBron James and his camp get away with that. We're not blaming him for the firing. What we're saying is you can't be as great as you proclaim to be, as we know you are, in today's NBA game, and be completely innocent and oblivious and distant, having nothing to do with the firing of yet another coach. That is impossible. That's all we're saying. But having said all of that, while acknowledging that that's a reality that he has to live with, there's a bigger narrative to touch on. And that is the fact that LeBron James has brought these debates on himself, Shannon, because of this insatiable appetite he has to control narratives. It's what he does. Nobody, I repeat, nobody, no star in the history of sports has gone about the business of methodically, systematically, continuously trying to control the narrative. And I have proof. That podcast that him and J.J. Redick have, let me be the first to say, it's a great podcast. You want to learn some basketball, you listen to them brothers. I ain't throwing no shade on them. I love J.J. and the job he's doing. I appreciate LeBron, his greatness, and his cerebral approach educating us about the game of basketball. But why would you choose to do that in your 21st season approaching age 40? Because you know why? You want to make sure that you're the guy that gets to put your fingerprints on narratives because you have proven throughout the years that you care about that. Well, we're here to say, yo, you got your approach, we got ours. You got your penchant for control of the narrative, we got ours. And oh, by the way, you're talking about you. So therefore, you ain't gonna be but so objective. We, on the other hand, are gonna be very objective. Shannon, you and I disagree, but we don't fail to acknowledge the greatness of LeBron right. James and how right. he's going to Mount Rushmore basketball. Kendrick Perkins, you are a friend. You've known this man for decades, which is why you repeatedly will tell people to kiss your ass when they come to you trying to tell you how you're supposed to be talking to and about LeBron James. Who the hell are they? Because you know them. You see what I'm saying? But you've had to do it. Why did you have to do it, Kendrick Perkins? Because that man allowed people to approach you to try to infiltrate a narrative he may have disagreed with that you, me, Shannon, or somebody else has put forth. This is what he does. This is what he has done. And there is no escaping that.
I believe two things can be true. I believe LeBron James is the GOAT, but I also believe he lacks accountability in the situation that we see right now with the Darvin Ham. It's been too many instances. Now, I get the Luke Walton situation. Stephen A., he wasn't there. That was not his guy. But the guys that get hired on his watch and are no longer there, he has to take some accountability for that. He's LeBron James. He's one of the two most influential players, maybe the top, yes. Jordan and LeBron. Obviously, you know, we know what Steph Curry would revolutionize the game. But we talk about influence, that has influence over teams. It's him. And so all these coaches, and you didn't have no say? It's just hard for me to
believe. Let me go back to the point of when you brought up about the Anthony Edwards piece, because I don't want you to take that out of context. What I was saying was,
yes,
when
sir.
It comes down to this series with Anthony Edwards, I'm talking about in particular the firing of Darvin Ham. What I'm saying is this.
Okay.
When I look at the Lakers, I know for sure, right off the top of my head, the first three games of the series, they had double-figure leads, okay? One of those leads in game, I believe in game one or game two, was a 20-point lead, okay? So my thing is, how do you not complete the mission as a player? When you have a 20-point lead and you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James, that's on you to complete that mission. You better not give Anthony Edwards a 20-point lead against the Denver Nuggets because he's going to complete the mission. What I was trying to say is that my thing is when it comes down to it, it's the mindset of Anthony Edwards. And what I'm saying is Darvin Ham, in my opinion, when it comes to facing the Denver Nuggets, and this is the reason that he actually lost his job, was because of this series. That's my opinion of not being able to get up over the hump. Not having enough personnel, but at the same time was able to be in each game. Two of those games they lost at the buzzer because of Jamal Murray over Anthony Davis. You know what I'm saying? So we can't just blame that. It's unfair for them to blame that on Darvin Ham. Could he have done some other adjustments throughout the game?
Yeah.
Yes, I get all that. That's that point. But again, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier, Shannon, in SA. I'm to the point right now, because how active LeBron James is on social media and in the media now, I would love for him to say, you know what? I have done what all I needed to do for the game of basketball. Let me just walk away from it. Because I strongly believe as long as he continue to play, and go ahead.
You have your preferences. I have mine. Your preference would be for LeBron James to retire. My personal opinion is that I think LeBron James is too great, too phenomenal at this stage and point even in his career to walk away from the game yet. We will miss him when he is gone. This is not a brother that's fading into the twilight. He averaged over 25-7. This brother is still special. Now, if he was averaging 20 points and was struggling to do that, was struggling to get loose, couldn't play bully ball, couldn't be one of the NBA leaders in fast break points, fourth quarter points, and all of this other stuff, you'd have me. That is not the case. But I will say this, and this is going to be very unpopular, but you know me, I don't give a damn. Listen, I'm not anti-anything. I am not anti-anything. I swear to you, live and let live. I want everybody to get paid. The more fruitful we are as a society, the more people that benefit, the more peaceful we'll all be. But am I partial to the brothers? You damn right. And when I think about a guy like Darvin Ham in his second season and he's out of a job, it bothers me. Just like it bothered me when Adrian Griffin lost his job. I mean, it would be nice. Yes, LeBron hasn't spoken up for any damn coach. He really, really hasn't, you know. But it would be nice to see him do it once, especially for a brother. I'm not going to lie to you. It would have been nice. That's just my preference. It's no crime that he didn't do it or anything like that. It's not a smear or tarnishing of his legacy or anything like that. But it would have been nice because we saw Michael Jordan. Now, Phil Jackson, I mean, my Lord, I mean, could you support a coach more than Michael Jackson? Right. Michael Jordan supported Phil Jackson, it would be nice. Patrick Ewing support Jeff Van Gundy years ago. List goes on.
He spoke up for Doug Collins too, Stephen A.
To see LeBron James do that.
Yes, Michael Jordan spoke up for Doug Collins.
Stephen A. Udoka had his troubles. It would have been nice, Tatum or Brown. I'm not saying they didn't support him privately, but publicly it would have been nice to see that. I'm just seeing brothers be losing their job, and I don't see players standing up and saying, yo, we need him. This man better not go anywhere. Right. It would be nice to see that once. Right.
And look, Stephen A. Shannon, let me say why I want LeBron to retire again. It's not because I don't believe that he doesn't have more left in the tank. It's because of what Shannon talked about. It's the expectations. So every single season, because LeBron James has been so great, because he continues to put up numbers, because he's shown us that he continued to invest in his craft, every single season, especially when he have on a Laker uniform, for him, it's going to be championship or bust. Is it unfair? Is it unfair? Yes, but that's the reality of it. It's going to be that. Now, Stephen A., Shannon, to go to y'all point about speaking up for coaches, yes, I'm with you on that. I'm going to tell you what pissed me the hell off is that It's one thing for Darvin Ham to get fired, but it's another thing for Phil Handy to be let go by the Los Angeles Lakers. I have a damn problem with that. LeBron James, you done won two championships with this man. This man had an opportunity to go with the Clippers with Kawhi Leonard after they won the championship.
And you asked him to come. And you asked him to come.
And you don't stand up for
him. He asked him to come to Lakers.
If LeBron wanted Phil Handy there, he would still be there. I'm not saying the head coach, but damn it, an assistant coach. He's supposed to be on that staff.
He'll be back. He'll be back. Phil ain't going anywhere.
All right, really good conversation.
He needs to be back, Shannon. He needs to be back.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I think it's so great the way that you're showing everyone that even after winning 7 Super Bowls, you can still have a midlife crisis.
Gronk, I've been watching on Fox NFL Sunday, and I'm begging you, please, stop doing your job.
Now, Tom, not you, because your face can't move and you don't have a sense of humor.
You and Bill are so far apart from each other. I just feel like, why do y'all take a shot together, man? Yeah. Robert wants to do it. Bill, let's make the uncomfortable uncomfortable, right? Bill is shot. Robert's here. Wait,
Bill, don't move.
Bill, this is a big moment, Bill.
Stay right here.
I want to say this is the greatest coach in the history of the game that did what no one else has done, and having Tom Brady and him was the greatest honor the good Lord gave me. So,
Cheers. Let's go. Drink it.
A black man made that happen.
That was so good. It was a snippet from the 3 hours long roast session on Netflix of Tom Brady that aired last night. The roast was obviously hosted by Kevin Hart. Stephen A., your reaction to the roast?
Well, I was... First of all, it was epic. It was sensational. It was really, really entertaining. Got to give major, major props to Tom Brady. Everybody can't accept getting roasted.
Oh, no.
I think I can do it. I know Shannon ain't trying to do it. But Tom Brady jumped right into the fire and did his thing. Gronkowski was hilarious. Julian Edelman was really, really fantastic. I forgot the name of that lady in the black dress who was, you know, she was a bit raunchy with a couple of things, but she was hysterical. Yeah. No question
Nikki
about
Glazer.
It. Kevin Hart. Yeah. Kevin Hart just did his thing. It was a fabulous event. And to me, Shannon, to see Tom Brady in that kind of environment, because I've gotten to know him a little bit, particularly since, you know, he stepped away from the game. We talk a few times. He's a champion in every way, man, as a person and as a player. It's really nice to see him having a good time. I think he's going to be a star in the booth. I really do. Remember I said that, Shannon? I think he's going to be a star in the booth. But all of those guys that was there, everybody that was roasting him, the right people were there, whoever picked it, the cast, the crew that came after him. It was perfectly, perfectly timed. I give major props and love to everybody associated with this event. And it really made me feel good to see Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft up there getting the toast together. Because, listen, you work with somebody for two plus decades. It's going to be some friction. Stuff's going to go awry. You're going to move in a different direction. But at the end of the day, you said it best, Shannon, on a few matters in the past. One moment, you know, or a couple of moments doesn't ruin years of things.
Right.
And they've achieved so many great, great things over the years. That's why you saw people standing up and applauding, because this is how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like that.
Stephen A., this was an old school roast. Because in order to have a true roast, you have to make people uncomfortable. And some of the things they said made people very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
This is a Dean Martin roast way back in the 70s when it was Carol Burnett and Rickles and Rodney Dangerfield and Pryor and all those guys. It was Carol Burnett.
Sammy Davis Jr., the whole bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really, really uncomfortable. And I think the thing is that Tom, like, when he agreed to it, like, yeah, sure, no problem. After about 30 minutes, he's like, well, what I done got myself into, Stephen A.? And everybody gave him that work. Coach Belichick showed up looking like an encyclopedia salesman. He gave him that work. Mr. Kraft was feeling really good when Kevin K. Hart called him up to the mic. He was feeling real, real, real good. He had a little buzz going on in him. But you're right, Stephen A.
That's right.
Now, could I roast somebody if they say, Shannon, we're having a roast for such and such? Could you come? Absolutely. And drop
you the
roast hammer.
Me. You'd roast me. You'd roast me in a heartbeat. Without hesitation.
You better pray. You better pray. They don't ever have a roast. I don't care if they have it on the moon. I'm coming. I'm paying for my own way to come to the moon. Stephen, I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna tell you know what up. I'm gonna tell you know what up. I can roast, but you're right, Stephen A.
I know
because here's the thing. I can take it like when people I know, like you roasted me, people I know. But a lot of these comedians, Stephen A., they dropped the hammer on Tom. I mean, they ate him. They gave Kim Kardashian that work, too. And she's like, hold on. I'm here to roast. How I get involved?
That's right. And got booing poor Kim. I'm like, what's up? What's wrong
you
with
do
y'all?
Realize, though, Stephen A., when you show up to a roast, everybody's fair game. Because the way I look at it, if you grin, you in. So guess what? You laugh if somebody says about me. When I get the mic, I'm going to light you up, too.
All right, Stephen A., we got to see you get roasted.
Listen, I'm scared of the people who would volunteer to show up to roast me.
It'd be so good. I mean,
the people in the industry, the people on the show, him, RC, Swaggoo, they pay their own flights to come there to roast me. Molly would have to get in the act. She would have missed it. Hell, Christine, I wouldn't put it past you. You'd probably get in on it too. But the comedians, the Kevin Harts of the world and others, oh my Lord, I don't even want to think about it. But one of these days, I'm gonna agree to it. Let me say this really, really quickly on a sour note, on a different note.
What's that?
Kendrick Lamar, Drake, stop. Stop. It's getting too personal. Stop it. That's not funny. Stop.
All right.
Just stop.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, Stephen A., how nervous are you about tonight? Game one.
I'm a little nervous, but you know what? I got the Knicks to win in six games. I think they're going to protect their home court. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. But they do what they're supposed to do. They should win.
All right. We'll see what happens. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Yeah. We'll talk about it tomorrow. I'm not going to be here.
Let's go, Pacers.
See how you are.
Have fun in Miami.
See how you are.
Let's go, Pacers.
See, that's blasphemy.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it. Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Requires Gemini device and additional paid subscriptions to watch Netflix and other third-party apps. Terms and restrictions apply.